Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. And we start with the huge news of the week that just dropped today. It blows everything out of the water. Forget the pay-per-view happening Sunday. Class of Champions like this takes the stage for the entire podcast, really. Ryan Reeves, who we all know as Ryback, has officially legally changed his name to Ryback.
And Chris takes it for the dumb fake story to open up the podcast. I like that's our thing now.
Yeah.
I think you have to like scare them like, what? Tangentially related.
And I like how you immediately like kill the joke and you're just like, no, that's not what we're talking about. It was a dumb joke. And like you immediately pull back.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not quite.
Do you have anything more to add to the Ryback's name is Ryback story?
I think he also changed his middle name because I think his full name now is Ryback Ryan Reeves.
All right.
I think. I don't know. I honestly glanced at the article. I saw the headline, and that's really all you need to know.
Remember when it was going to be, like, the Ryback? Like, Daniel Bryan was, like, pushing for the Ryback? Mm-hmm. I just imagine that had taken root, and so he tries to change his name to, like, the Ryback.
Remember when Ryback tried to change the entire financial structure of professional wrestling by posting on his Tumblr?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
I mean, you know what? His name is Warrior.
Yeah, well, he's not really known for having the, like, most sound judgment either.
No,
Yes, let's all, you know what? That homophobe that just happens to be passed away now had some really good points.
Does this mean he gets to wrestle under the name Ryback now? Like,
I'm
assuming that's why you do it, right?
Yeah, I believe at the heart of it, that's what. I don't know if, because he did say that he had used that name before any WWE excursions. I don't know how true that is. I didn't know. I didn't think he had any outside WWE wrestling before this.
And in all fairness, I don't remember what Damian Sandow's TNA name is. Like, I know it's closer to his real name, but it's still not quite it.
It's like Aaron. Like, Aaron Rex.
It's like Rex, yeah. And his real name is Reeves, or the flip of, like, I don't remember what.
No, his real name, I believe, is Aaron Stevens.
Maybe.
Yeah, because his original, like, wrestling name was Idol Stevens.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Aaron Rex, like, just A-R-O-N or something like that.
I don't know. So.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, because Cody Rhodes did a interview this weekend that was put on YouTube, and somebody asked him if he would be, because he's probably going to do some TVs. Stuff for pay-per-view stuff for like Ring of Honor, and
right.
I think it was announced today that he had joined TNA. I don't know if he's like on roster TNA, but he's working with TNA. And someone asked him, is he going to wrestle as Cody Rhodes? And he's like, for the time being, no. It's ongoing, but I can't do it right now on TV. Like anything non-televised, sure, you know. But
right.
Televised, it's if Cody Rhodes can't use the Rhodes name, then Ryback probably can't use Ryback.
Right.
Unless apparently if it's his. God, well, now court-appointed name. I was going to say God-given, but...
Yeah. It's not. He had to...
Wrong God.
Take his hands on that. I mean, side note, the Cody Rhodes thing, a little bit scummy, like...
Yeah, because, like, WWE could just be like, okay, fine, you know?
Like, yeah.
Like, and, like...
A little bit...
Like, Cody Rhodes, he himself, predominantly used it under... The WWE banner.
He totally did.
Can make this whole thing with his dad not doing it, not, you know, having...
Well, his dad made the Rhodes name what it is. Like, oh, right. This is what the, you know, name Rhodes means in the world of wrestling.
Right. And I think Cody Rhodes is like, well, you know, I did try to make a point where I had, like, one, like, actual, like... amateur wrestling match in high school where, like, it was the championships or something where he's like, I just, you know, kind of for fun, I came out as Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
You know, just for that little bit of, you know, flair to it.
Hey, I have seen his yearbook.
Yeah.
And he is credited as Stardust in that yearbook.
Right.
So, like...
We do have a friend that apparently went to high school with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
So...
And, in all, I mean, I feel like all of this is just like, all right, how much... of a pain do you want to be to force getting this name or that name?
Right.
And on some level, I totally get it. Again, I don't remember Damian Sandow's TNA name. Like, it's, oh, hey, Damian Sandow's going to be on TNA.
Sure. But here's the weird thing. TNA also has signed his wife, and she's under Brandi Rhodes.
Because she wasn't Brandi Rhodes.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't even Brandi. Like, Brandi's her real name.
Yeah.
She wasn't even Brandi in WWE.
So
that's
like,
that's kind of weird, to be honest with you.
He could be like Codith Rhodes, or like...
or, Cody Backroads or something? I don't know. He's probably just going to go as Cody, I think. He hasn't really, like, said one way. But he did say it is ongoing. It's one of those things where you almost feel like... You almost want to be like, come on, WWE, just let's let him have it.
Let him have it. Like, yeah. I'm a little bit of a like, let him have the name.
Yeah.
Like,
because it's weird, like, I believe, even, like, Goldust in that period of time when he wasn't with WWE, he was doing, like, independent shows as Goldust. Well, but then again, it wasn't televised, so that might be...
It wasn't televised. Also, that was a different era.
I mean, like, as soon as, like, three, four years ago.
Yeah, but I just...
And I don't think he... Because it was back when he was working as a producer. I think he was one of the main producers for SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And it was while he was recovering from injury. And I believe it was around the same time, like, Edge retired, around that time.
I mean,
soon after he was fired as a producer, and then he went back on the independents and started wrestling again as Goldust.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is obviously the not on TV thing.
Sure.
Because you'll see independent shows all the time with, you know, former WWE superstar, this name or that name.
Right.
And where, you know, I don't know if they would be using that if they were on TNA or Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, name, drama, and shenanigans aside, there's a lot of wrestling to talk about.
Yeah.
Again. And
I feel like that's how we start pretty much every podcast now.
Well, I did the math. So
also, I did want to make, just before we get too far away from anything, I know we've always given you a hard time about, like, starting sentences with, here's the thing. Somebody on Inside Pulse did point out something that I do a lot, and it's usually whenever you're talking and I'm still trying to be, like, sound like I'm engaged, whether I actually am or not. I'm just like, sure. I'd say that a lot, apparently. And someone pointed that out, and now I'm going to be something. So.
Let me just say, if you people would know what the thing is, yes. I wouldn't have to keep saying, here's the thing.
There's a lot of things with Joel.
There are a lot of things.
And they're all here.
You just need to let them fall into place
sure.
and be the thing.
Sure. All right. There's one big thing that, especially from Raw, this past week that I would like to touch on.
I want to address something.
Okay.
Because I did the math here.
Okay.
I did math and I wanted to be acknowledged.
Is it the math of where the thing is?
There are 12 pay-per-views a year.
Classically, before the split. Yeah.
Sometimes 13, but we'll
usually around 12.
Yeah, we'll take it and we'll say 12. You add 7 to that now. They've said the usual 12 plus 7 now.
So that extra 7 is... Or the SmackDown.
Basically, yeah. Okay. They're adding... All they've said is, now that there's a brand split, we're adding 7 to the calendar. They haven't specifically said, like, these 12 are the, you know, good old-fashioned Raw ones, and these new seven ones are going to be all SmackDown. That's what we're assuming. You know, it'll be, like, 7 SmackDown, 7 Raw, and then 5 crossovers, which will probably be the big 4 in Money in the Bank.
Oh, I didn't even think about Money in the Bank. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm assuming.
That's a safe assumption because now we get to have 2 Money in the Bank matches.
Exactly.
Cool. All
right. But that's 19 pay-per-views.
Jesus.
So there are 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah, and 19 of them are going to feature.
So... Half of 52 is 21. So there's going to be a pay-per-view every other week, save for 2 weeks out of the year.
That's probably those two or so weeks closing in on WrestleMania.
Yeah, probably the one closing around WrestleMania. Maybe one before SummerSlam to give a little buffer time there.
Maybe.
Don't know. That also, we have traditionally given each pay-per-view a pre-show where we run down the card podcast, mm-hmm. and then the podcast after where we would recap it. So, because there's now going to be one every other week, say for 2 weeks, literally every podcast is either breaking down an upcoming card or breaking down the previous pay-per-view. Nonstop, forever, for the rest of the time.
Okay. I choose to think of that as a good thing, especially when we get into the pocket of suck time. Because there's going to be shows, because, you know, there's been times where we just were scratching and clawing to find something to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So it helps us in that way. Whether or not that's interesting to you, the listener, it remains to be seen.
Well, that's just, does that dilute the feeling of, oh boy, a pay-per-view? I mean, is the concept of a pay-per-view as special as it once was? And does that dilution of the specialty of the product trickle down? As in, we already feel like, oh, there's a title match, but it's not on a pay-per-view.
Right.
So we know it's not going to be real. Now that there's a pay-per-view every other week, mm-hmm. essentially, does that super make the Raw and SmackDown be like, but we really know it doesn't count?
I feel like it helps with the fact that we're rotating shows, you know?
Okay.
Like, it's still, yeah, it's every other week, but, you know, every month.
I mean, this also...
It's still a different...
This also doesn't even take into account takeover specials.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, those happen with such rarity that those aren't, you know... I don't feel like they're going to go stale anytime soon.
No, but we say that they happen every 6 to 8 weeks, maybe?
Something like that. I think they say, like, once every quarter they try to... Now it's looking like it's, you know, happening around the same time as all of the big four, mm-hmm. you know, because they're now going to probably do one same weekend as WrestleMania, doing one the day before SummerSlam. They're doing one the day before Survivor Series. Might as well throw in the one the day before Royal Rumble as well.
Well, and if you do one before each thing and then add in two more, so you're doing one every other month, then basically you're doing six out of the year.
Just so they can have a takeover back at the, you know, Snotty Brats in Full Sail.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, but you're having basically six takeover events throughout the year.
I'm trash talking Full Sail. Get over it. Just more and more stuff comes out about those fans and I'm just like, ugh.
I know.
Gross.
I know.
Shh. I know. Okay. I know. Mm-hmm. I feel like with the rotating system of it between shows helps out so far. Mm-hmm. It has helped as far as like not feel stale.
Yeah.
You know, now if it was the same roster and we're having a pay-per-view every 2 weeks, yeah, that would get super old super quick. Also, I feel like it kind of makes me look forward to the big four as well. Like, man, I'm kind of excited to see, you know, what they're going to do when they're all together.
I think a big thing is it's still very early in the
sure
split.
Let's readdress this 1 year from now.
That
kind of thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of it is like I can't 100% tell you with rapid fire, you know, confidence who's on what brand. Like it still feels like one big WWE brand. But right. if I was to like throw out rapid fire, same thing, where is he?
Raw.
But did you think?
It took me a second.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously takes you a second. It's not like, you know.
Basically, if you're not like a champion or something.
Exactly.
I kind of have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I still feel like it's one big WWE brand. Also, are the brand split, or the brand crossover shows,
mm-hmm.
going to have that super rare magical moment where a Raw guy and a SmackDown guy will fight, and I never get to see that? And that
would be nice.
That doesn't have to be the whole card.
No.
But it would be nice to have, like, one specialty match, like the Randy Orton-Brock Lesnar.
Right. Just have
at least in concept and theory.
One crossover match per, like, big four.
Right.
That would be interesting, you know. It would help to do that rather than just have, a bragging rights pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
it's a interesting idea in theory, but now that we've seen the like how it's practically carried out, it wasn't great.
I don't really like the wrestlers fighting for which brand is better.
Mm-hmm.
That's very weird. Like for them to actually physically fight about like mm-hmm. which brand is superior.
Right.
It's just it. And there's some ways to do it. I like the on the draft episode mm-hmm. when they were having a SmackDown guy and a Raw guy fight for the title, which show yeah. was taking home the title. Sure. That was a cool, interesting thing. Side note on the titles. In this, you know, constant adding of titles that we've had.
Yep.
We've had SmackDown add
two titles.
To three, depending on how you want to count the tag teams.
Well, sure. I mean, like, a tag team title and a women's title.
Yeah.
Raw's added a Universal and Cruiserweight.
So, Raw now
mm-hmm.
has the same number of titles that the entire company had before the brand split.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Because they lost some titles to SmackDown when they were split.
Right.
And they added new titles. I've seen it,
because Cruiserweight kind of takes...
Intercontinental.
Continental, at least that number space. Okay.
Yeah. So, there are literally as many titles on Raw.
So, Raw, I think, would at this point, would it just have one more championship than SmackDown?
With the Cruiserweight? I believe so.
Yeah, because they also got US mm-hmm. on Raw.
Yeah.
Oof, that's crowded.
It's very crowded.
Yeah.
And, again... This is a little bit of a let's revisit in a year, but like, what is the dilution of specialness of holding a title when?
Correct. Well, at least with the Cruiserweights, it's contained within their own division, you know, so that
right.
helps in that regards. Now with like US or in the Universal, it's just like anyone can fight for either of these.
Right.
You know, there's not really any rank system here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure there won't be for the Cruiserweights.
Well, the thing with the Cruiserweights is they already lie.
Yeah.
Like...
And let's touch on that, because that's the one thing from Raw I wanted to get on.
Okay.
Hey, first off, they hype TJ Perkins. Like, he goes to Raw as champion this Monday. He was the one Cruiserweight that wasn't on Raw this yeah. past Monday.
Yeah.
And it's the go-home show where he defends his championship for the first time. Ooh-wee, what's up with that?
Do you just...
You don't know, do you? It's not there's no decent way to explain it.
So, you know, present face? It's that face that you get when you open up a really cool-looking box and it's like socks and a sweater. And you got to give it to your grandmother.
To be polite?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's that...
Hopefully not make her feel bad for yeah, giving her a crappy present.
It's that smile. It's yeah. that, like, oh, thanks. Just what I needed. I'm yeah. so excited.
I got it every time I got a sweater for Christmas.
It's present face.
Yes.
I feel like the Raw writers were giving the Cruiserweight Classic writers present face when they were like, mm-hmm. you're a new champion, a whole division to play with.
It's like, guys, we're going to hype this the entire Raw for, like, almost 3 hours, or at least 2 hours. We're going to hype the mess out of this. We're going to have a big match or a big thing with all these guys. And they're like, yeah, one segment, one match, four guys, go for it. Jamie's not even here.
Well, it feels like Raw, as an entity, the Raw writers or whatever, mm-hmm. didn't have any say as to who would win the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right.
So as soon as it's like, it's going to be TJ Perkins, it was like, all right. We don't... All right. What about Coda?
Right, yeah.
Well, No. We don't want that. We want Coda. Well, we can't get that Raw. We gotta work with what... No. Well,
but we want... Okay, fine. We can't have... What about Zack Sabre Jr.? It's like, no.
Raw, you don't understand.
We can't have that.
I just look at this highlight reel of TJ. We don't like
okay,
TJ
all right,
Perkins.
Cool. What about Akira Tozawa? No, still has some dates left. Here's TJ Perkins. Okay, well, what about Jack Gallagher? Oh, we've signed him. We're not going to put him on Raw the first week. So, well, you're not going to put the champion on the first week either, so what does it matter?
We'll put him on this shelf. We'll stick it on the refrigerator right here where everybody can see it. And we'll wait till you sign.
Like, okay, well, what about Grand Metalik? TJ Perkins! Yeah. Like, there's no explanation there.
Well, it just...
We'll see, okay.
It feels like there was no communication between the two creative staff.
Sure, sure.
As to what to do now.
Right. And, I mean, I don't want to poo-poo on TJ Perkins or anything. Because, honestly, like, after we saw the finale, after he did the post-match promo that the Full Sail snotty brat kids tried to ruin, I was fully invested with that promo. At that point, I was like, you know what? They picked the right guy.
I don't want to poo-poo on any of the Cruiserweight guys. I think that the entire show from, concept to execution worked out great. It built up. You built up an entire half dozen to a dozen brand new stars just ready to go.
Right.
And here they are, all wound up. Mm-hmm. You got it. Go for it. Put them on the big show.
But you know what? Okay, but here's like the silver lining of them not featuring TJ Perkins. Because where were they at this week? Memphis? Which seemed like a pretty like smarky crowd for the most part. They were not into that Cruiserweight match at all.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty dead for the majority of it. And I'm sitting here thinking like, you guys should be going nuts right now. But they weren't. And honestly, that's probably for the best. If TJ Perkins was not there.
Right.
Because at least, as I learned from SummerSlam, when you unveil a new championship, the one thing you don't want is the crowd to just not care.
Yeah.
Or hate it.
Yeah.
It's the one time where you're like, because you know a lot of times WWE is like, we don't care if you're cheering or booing as long as you're making a noise.
That's a lie.
It sure is. Especially in Roman Reigns' case. But this is one of those things where it's like, no, we care about the reaction. This should be cheers for a new championship with a new champion. It's exciting. Excuse me. And with Memphis's just complete apathy about it, maybe that was for the best. I mean, I'm not saying that they like foresaw that happening because I don't want to believe that they're that good. Well, they're definitely not that good to foresee that happening.
Yeah.
So that's the one silver lining of it all, but I don't think that was intentional.
We'll see where this develops, but I'm not...
Like, I'm okay with, like... Because they are signing a good handful of guys from this cruise. Like, that's a lot of people, especially if they're only going to get... I'm hoping they're going to get more than one segment per Raw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially with a division of this size. I'm okay with, like, the gradual rollout of all of their signees. You know, and a lot of them have like, well, I have, you know, this many dates up until this month or whatever. Right. So that, you know, a kind of a gradual rollout is kind of what they're going to have to do anyway. So I'm okay with that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're given 1 week to hype up a championship match, it would be kind of good to have the champion, the champion on the show.
Yeah. Especially when he's proved that he can handle a microphone well.
Sure.
Like, I understand maybe, oh, we were scared.
And I fully understand why, like, out of all the people that is now in the Cruiserweight division, Brian Kendrick is the one that has the most exposure to the WWE audience.
Right.
You know, it's been 7 years, so it's not great, but there's some exposure there. So I understand why he's the challenger in all this.
Mm-hmm.
On top of him being an amazing wrestler. So, I don't dislike the match at all, but it's just weird, man.
I am curious as to the thought process behind the build-up.
Curious AF. Mm. Is there anything from SmackDown that we need to talk to?
Yes.
Okay. you're making it sound like it's overly obvious. Am I forgetting about something?
John Cena got lost.
John Cena got lost?
He got losted. He got beat. Cleanly.
Here's the thing. I couldn't tell if you were saying that he was traveling somewhere and he got lost, or you just decided to make a really bad grammatic.
I changed. I was gonna say John Cena got beat. Well, I was gonna say John Cena got beaten, and then I went to John Cena lost, but then got had already escaped from my mouth. Right. So yeah, John Cena
got lost.
John Cena got lost cleanly on SmackDown.
Was it that clean though?
I mean,
because it was like off of like some sort of distraction or something like that. Well, and then he hit the.
I mean, it was a roll-up. It was a roll-up. It was a roll-up pin, but it was two guys go in the ring and one beat the other one.
That's right.
That's not happened on television. It's happened on
pay-per-views
occasionally. It has not happened on television since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It has not happened on SmackDown since John Cena won the U.S. Championship, I think. So, don't quote me on that, because I'm sure you can find something, but, like, a straight clean win, one guy going over John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
That's... And I don't want to... There's a very, very fine line to walk when discussing this, where it can sound really silly really quick.
Sure.
Because John Cena lost to Dean Ambrose pretty much right after losing to AJ Styles.
Right.
I mean, that's...
He took like a month off, but still.
Right,
like,
but...
His last two meaningful matches.
Yeah. I think he might have had like a tag team match in there, but yeah, the last two things we saw John Cena do was lose cleanly to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw... There's a way to go to extreme with this argument. Wow, they're really burying John Cena. And that's obviously not true.
Sure.
But there's also seeds of truth in that almost. Like, it's really good that you are having a beatable John Cena now.
Okay, yeah.
But there is a wrong way to do that. And if you... And two matches does not...
It doesn't turn you into 2012 Chris Jericho.
Right. You haven't, like, oh, you've ruined it. He lost twice. You've ruined the entire thing. John Cena's a jobber now. Like, obviously not. But when you are willing to do this, which, oh my goodness, that's exciting that you're willing to entertain this as a concept of John Cena doesn't only lose by shenanigans now. Sometimes he loses to not necessarily a better wrestler, but better wrestling.
Sure.
You know, sometimes somebody can out-wrestle and beat him if they're especially good, as your last two WWE champions should be.
Sure.
So, and that's the thing, is like, he lost to these two specific guys, which is, if there's going to be somebody to lose to, that's name A and B that he should be losing to.
Right.
And he can easily beat them later, and there could be, there should be back and forth in your top division. There just isn't yet. John Cena's lost.
Right.
And I again, I like many things on this episode so far. Let me see it in 2 weeks. Let me see it in a month where they're going with this.
Right.
I don't know how much John Cena is sticking around post
No Mercy.
No Mercy.
I mean, he was gone for a good month, and I don't know what is on his itinerary going forward. But I feel like, you know, that's around the appropriate amount of time to film a reality show. So, right. I mean, he might be here for a little while.
But it feels like he's not going Rock part-time. He's not going Undertaker part-time.
No.
But it does feel like he's not going to be here in that week-in and week-out schedule anymore.
No.
It feels like this is... And so a lot of people talk about, you know, what does this mean long-term? What's the overarching six-month story here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is one. I think this is to build up to No Mercy, and that's it. And that's fine.
Sure.
Like, sometimes I think we get so invested in building from here. How do you take this right now and lead into next year's WrestleMania?
Sure.
That sometimes these things that, yeah, they are building blocks, these lesser pay-per-views.
Right.
You still should be building towards each of those being an event.
Right, because you still want to maintain and capture further the interest of your audience.
Right.
You know, and you don't, just because you're wanting to do long-term build, it still means that you have to put meaningful, entertaining matches leading up to it anyway.
And we addressed that when the Shield Triple Threat was a Battleground thing.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you're like, why is this not WrestleMania? It clearly is a WrestleMania caliber setup, WrestleMania caliber feud. This should absolutely be main eventing WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Why are you throwing it away on Battleground? But at the same time, I still want you to make Battleground good. And if you're like, if WWE came out with, it's just Battleground,
mm-hmm.
then I would absolutely be like, no, you can't say that. I can say that because
mm-hmm.
I'm a goofy, grumpy guy on the internet.
Right.
You can't say that. You have to entertain me with your 21 pay-per-views every year.
Jesus. Yeah. I don't know.
I think this is a setup to No Mercy, and sure. there's not really anything past that, which right. is okay. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Cena's going to win this one yet.
No.
I feel like the Cena ties Ric Flair storyline needs to be bigger than, oh, I guess we should do that.
Yeah.
The
only way I could see it as a part of a bigger storyline is if it leads eventually to something at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Then Survivor Series, yeah, I could see John Cena going, you know, tying with Ric Flair at some point. Like, it's not something that I don't see happening at a smaller pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, and I am okay with Cena getting a title at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the first title, not even title reign, but title match that Cena's been in a year? Maybe more than that?
Not counting, like, U.S. Championship, or?
Not counting U.S. Championship, like, going for the main title, face that runs the place, head of the card kind of guy. When is the last time Cena's been seriously in that discussion as the guy that's going to be either champion or main competitor of champion?
Yeah, it's been a pretty long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it goes back to when, what's his name? John Stewart.
It might have been more leading up to WrestleMania 31. Because that's when it started, or at least the pay-per-view before that, was it probably Fastlane or whatever back then, or Elimination Chamber, whatever, before 31. Because that's when, like, he started concentrating on the U.S. Championship. Because Rusev, like, came in and cost him the chance to win a match. I don't know if it was for a championship or not, but it was around that time.
Well, he...
Royal Rumble,
yeah,
that year with him, Brock, and Seth. Mm-hmm. They might have had another match that next month for a championship or something.
He was fighting who when John Stewart came out and stopped him from tying Ric Flair?
Seth.
He was fighting Seth.
Because
both of their titles were on the line. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're right.
His U.S. championship was on the line.
I don't know what I'm thinking yet. So, yeah, because that's when Seth became the first
dual holder,
champion
yeah.
of that and the U.S. That's right. But, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm a dumb dumb. I'm a dumb. Just quit. Let's just go home. You can keep talking. I'm just going to go home. Have fun. It's the classy Joel attire.
Even so, that was SummerSlam of last year. So it's been
over a year
since Cena was not even a champ, because I think he lost it. Brock took it from him, and he never got it back. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
So it's been over a year since he fought for it. It's been over 2 years since he's held the championship. I say that with a question mark because I feel like I'm forgetting a title reign, but...
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
So I'm okay if he's champion again. I'm
right.
You know, I feel like that whole, like, oh, he's always champion, he's always in the title scene, has run its course. There are wrestling fans now who have never seen John Cena be champion.
Gross.
So,
I mean, it makes me feel old.
Yeah.
Even though it's been like 2 years, but still.
Yeah, there are brand new wrestling fans.
But thanks to the magic of the WWE Network, that doesn't have to be true anymore. This isn't an advertisement.
So, I'm okay with that. I want the Ric Flair, the tying Ric Flair storyline to be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I think Ric Flair should be involved. You have him. You're on good terms.
Yeah.
Like, I think he should either come out and, like, you know, I made that record to be broken. You know, that's how this business works. You go out and get it, son.
Sure, yeah. Or, and that's pretty much what Ric Flair has said about it, you know, anyway.
That's what he's, yeah. Or we could do the, if he's, you know, in heel mode right now, we could do the, like, hey, you get that, I'm coming for it.
Right, yeah. Because he has said, like, you know, give him, like, a few, like, 4 or 5 months that he can get in ring shape. But then again, this is Ric Flair's opinion.
You know what? I think will to do it has shown me some amazing things.
Especially out of Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be like, because honestly, the barring any sort of help thing, the dream thing is John Cena getting it and John Cena versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania.
Sure.
Like, that's the dream setup of what you do with that. I can't be like, oh, you know what I'm really missing at WrestleMania? Ric Flair main eventing. That's what's really going
to... No, don't need to see it at all.
But I would not mind, again, on a lesser pay-per-view, maybe, you know, I would not mind Ric Flair getting one more match.
As much of a just... I can't come up with a different way to say it. Just the giant rager that WWE has for Ric Flair, I don't think they would do that on a lesser pay-per-view.
That, and that's, in some ways, that's your catch-22.
Right.
Is, you know,
what would WWE be willing to do if they were going to do that?
Yeah.
Not saying they are, and not saying they should.
Oh, no. But if you were going to do that, would you do that on the biggest pay-per-view where you have the most eyes going, oh, okay, mm-hmm.
I think it's more of a possibility that we're going to see Cena versus Undertaker at 33.
I think there's a very real possibility. Cena Undertaker?
It probably should be his last match, Undertaker's. Mm-hmm. If we haven't already seen his last match.
Yeah.
If so, I didn't really like that Hell in a Cell match to be his last one. As crazy and bonkers as it was, everything was more focused on Shane doing something crazy and probably stupid.
It was...
And us being stressed about if he's going to live.
The whole thing was just like counting down the seconds. Like, okay, this has been long enough. It's taken enough time that he can now feasibly climb up and jump off the cell. We all know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're torn between, oh, I really want to see that, and I might not really want to see that.
Right.
I might be asking for something horrible, and I don't want to do that. So
I just had a flashback to it. No, thank you. I guess we should probably talk about the card.
We do have a card. Yeah. As always, we either have a card or a recap to do from now on.
You just confuse me because you use that as always thing that you do in the
dude, you're ready to switch into it.
Time to go home? Yes. I can go home at a reasonable hour? Reasonable-ish. It's an objective term.
We have a card to talk about.
All right. We have for the kickoff match... Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax.
Nia Jax is going to win that.
Sure, clearly.
But Alicia Fox will win our hearts.
Well, she already has. I love Crazy Fox.
And then she seems to be bringing that back, like...
A little bit, and I'm kind of happy with it.
Yeah.
And I love how she immediately regretted accidentally hitting Nia Jax in the face with that box. Just, like, it hit her with it, and it's just like, I don't care. And just continued.
It looked like she broke for a second. Oh, wait, we're live.
Right.
We can't reshoot this.
We're live, pal. So, we have the Cruiserweight Championship, TJ Ferguson versus Brian Kendrick.
I don't know.
I want to think that the guy won your tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't even been on Raw yet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take the championship off of him.
I'm going to say TJ Perkins because the other option hurts my soul too much.
Just from the everything that I just laid out.
But
yeah.
Can't you see a little bit like...
Yeah, I can see in a heartbeat.
It's present face. It's like, oh, that's okay. We'll fix it.
I mean,
we have a real superstar to put the title on.
I'm not terribly familiar with TJ Perkins, but just from what I've seen from the Cruiserweight Classic, he seems like he's a very good, like, fight from under kind of guy. Like, he's very good at being an underdog. And I'm assuming Brian Kendrick would be going heel with all this. And so that's like a ready-made feud right there. But at the same time, you're still building a division. So it's like, well, then the focus is going to be on them. Are they going to give the other guys any time?
But more importantly, I want to be able to sleep at night. And it will be harder to do that if I don't pick TJ Perkins to win this. Sure.
So we're both going TJ.
TJ Perkins.
All right. So we now have the final match in the best of seven series.
And what is our count is?
3-3.
3-3, right?
Otherwise, it wouldn't be
the final one.
The final seven.
I'm just making sure.
John, do we have to explain to you how math works? Like, I know I'm not the person to be giving you that talk, but still.
We just talked about math already.
And I zoned out for so much of it.
My point is, like, I was a big proponent of this best of seven series. Like,
sure.
Back when we first talked about it, I was like, this is the way to go. This is, but it hasn't really made me invested in the Raw matches like I wanted it to.
No, because it's just like, okay, well, they're going to be doing that this weekend, the next week, and the next week, and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, okay, he's down 3-0, so Cesaro clearly is going to come back because they're going to go to seven matches.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like their thinking is that they're going to make – this is going to cause everyone to get further behind Cesaro than they already were. And we're just like, no, nah, we've always been behind him. This is
but
just –
but then you made him fight Sheamus seven times.
Right. I'm not saying they had bad – like, they've had good matches. I couldn't, but there's no like distinct moment that I can point out and be like, all right, that match out of the seven, that's a good one, you know, because they all kind of blend together at this point.
And I still want to stand behind the theory of a best of seven and what it can do for your Raw matches and make them carry weight and have more, you know, gravity to the situation when you're fighting on Raw. But
I feel like if this is going to be something that they kind of go to fairly regularly, you know, using, you know, clearly, you know, obviously different people. I feel like they played the whole, like, 3-0 coming back thing. I think they played that too soon.
Yeah.
Like, this could have been, like, a more contested, like, maybe go down 2-0 and then kind of tie it up or something, and, you know, keep it a little bit more contested. And you still get 2-3-3, but I feel like you need more of an underdog. Because that, like, the way they build Sheamus and Cesaro is, like, they're both equally tough guys. In WWE's eyes, I'm not saying that's actually true. And they gave like Cesaro like the injury and like more tape and everything. But
once you hit the 3-0 status, you're like, well, I gotta, because that's the thing is, I was excited about it at the beginning, and I think it's been these past 3 weeks when I'm like, we're just going through the motions to get tied up.
Because we all kind of figured that one out. I feel like if they had a little bit more of, like, a smaller guy, like, maybe, like, somebody that in the cruiserweights or of that stature.
Right.
Maybe they would have gone a little bit more the way WWE was wanting.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like, it was just like, okay, well, can we just, like, just let Cesaro win and move on to something else now? Like, that's pretty much how it was. Like, we're, like, as much people are behind Cesaro probably as there ever will be, we're just still quite a lot, so let's just kind of go ahead and just fire that trigger.
I'm picking Cesaro, by the way.
I'm picking Cesaro as well.
Okay.
Because I feel like they're wanting this to be a springboard.
Yeah. For him.
At least I'm hoping so.
My soul
is hoping so. Now we have the United States Championship, Rusev versus Roman.
I'm gonna say Roman.
Okay.
It feels kind of weird because...
Because you're thinking that WWE wants him back in the main title scene sometime soon.
It feels like...
But if he's winning the U.S. Championship, he's got that. He's got to deal with a rematch against Rusev.
We have this weird setup where getting a title is a punishment for this guy.
Yeah.
I
still don't think it's that much of a punishment.
No.
In their eyes, it's like...
It's not. It's not supposed to be.
We're punishing you by doing this. I'm like, no.
It speaks volumes as to... how they treasure their United States title.
It speaks volume. It also speaks volumes on the pedestal they have Roman on.
Mm-hmm. But with the firmly getting him out of this title storyline, the Seth and Kevin storyline, the fact that Cesaro, or Sheamus, but Cesaro is going to have a title shot claim, I feel like there is... enough stuff that they can do with the title without Roman being involved.
Right.
And
they might be waiting on Survivor Series because they have such a giant rager for Roman being in a championship, a main championship match at one of the big four.
Yeah. I feel like letting him hold this title, they'll cheer for him. They'll get used to cheering for Roman.
We went from, like, calling people placeholder champions. Now we have placeholder championships.
Yeah.
That's essentially what's happening right now, if he wins. I'm going to probably say Roman wins the U.S. championship. Yeah, I'll make that call, yeah. Now we have a match that I didn't know was happening.
Okay.
Sami Zayn versus Chris Jericho. Yeah, okay, I can tell by
you. Did they announce that?
I guess.
Did they announce that on Raw?
I don't know. I don't think it was this week. Like, it happened a couple weeks ago.
I'll be perfectly honest, like, I had some work to do Monday, sure. So, like, Raw time is definitely multitasking time.
I was home sick and had, like, a very fuzzy head, and I was also watching Monday Night Football at the same time. So, I don't remember very well either. I just know, in my sick haze, that TJ Perkins wasn't on the freaking show. That's all I know, and that the Bears suck. A lot. That's really the only takeaways I have from Monday night.
I guess I'll say Sami Zayn.
Yeah, well, I feel like they're building Chris Jericho up some more.
To do what?
To eventually run a program against Kevin Owens. I don't know who would be face, because I feel like Jericho's kind of at the point where his stuff is just constantly over, that they might switch him face again. I don't want it. Let me go ahead and make that clear. I don't want that to happen. But I feel like, I would be intrigued in a program with Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens for the championship.
For the championship?
Yes.
Are you going to say Chris Jericho here?
For that reason, I'm going to say Chris Jericho.
All right, I'm going to stay with Sami Zayn.
Okay.
So we'll have some difference there.
Okay. You seem like you were perturbed by what I just said. Do you not see that happening, or are you like, you don't know how, like, is that, or has this now become a reality for you?
No, the whole Chris Jericho situation is a little bit of an enigma, where, like, since he's come back.
Jeff Hardy? Sorry.
No, the word, not the dumb title.
Okay.
Where there was so much of this, like, I respect Chris Jericho for the accomplishments. In a little bit because, like, I have to.
Right.
Like, as far as, like, you have to respect what Chris Jericho is in. You have to respect his accomplishments.
It's a free country, so you don't.
Yeah, but don't be a jerk about it. Like,
fair enough.
There are certain guys who are, like, you need to respect what they've done, what they've contributed to the business. I feel like Chris Jericho kind of sat there for me. He did most of his stuff during my break. So,
sure.
You know, a lot of the Chris Jericho I've known has been like, oh, here he comes. Oh,
we'll lose to that guy again.
He's got to go be a game host for a while. So
that's why I feel like they're, you know, building him up again.
It always feels like he's on the verge of leaving for another tour.
Well, apparently he was only supposed to be here for like 4 months.
Yeah.
But now they're reporting like everything's happening so well. He's just going to be here at least until the end of the year.
Well, and the heel stuff has worked out so magically. I feel like, you know, towards the end of, like, the Dave Letterman run of The Late Show, where, like, when he would tell a joke and you're like, you're not laughing because it's funny, you're laughing because it's Dave Letterman. Like,
right, okay.
these are respect laughs. Not you said a funny thing laugh.
Right.
I feel like I feel like Chris Jericho kind of hit that where it's like, I'm not excited about what I'm seeing you perform. I'm just excited that I'm seeing Chris Jericho.
It's like, I think it's on YouTube or something, like watching Big Bang Theory without the laugh track. And you had to sit there and like, oh, wait, that's not really funny, is it? No, it's not. The show's horrible. Like that kind of thing. Like once you take away like any sort of other people, you know, say, like, the David Letterman example. If you could isolate the sound of the crowd out and you're just listening to him, would you still laugh? And probably not.
and that's the thing is, I think that...
Just on the sake of if something's funny or not.
Yeah, I I also think there are a lot of guys, especially Chris Jericho's main era and before, back into the 80s, were like, yeah, I'm cheering because I'm excited to see this person. This mm-hmm. person is already a superstar. I'm just excited to see them.
Sure.
Not necessarily they're putting on a good match. They're doing incredible things. I'm cheering for these things. I'm just cheering at the mere existence of this.
Sure.
I feel like Chris Jericho got a lot of those respect cheers, and I think weirdly, like, recently been like, I am enjoying Chris Jericho. I am legit enjoying
basically him. Everything past, I would say everything past the CM Punk thing that he had in 2012.
CM Punk was his last great feud.
Yeah. Anything beyond that, it was more of just respect cheer.
Yeah.
Up until his recent, starting really with Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And well, maybe a little bit with AJ Styles.
The thing where he was on the ladder and, like, he was at, he, which Money in the Bank did he win?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. By the way, yes, Big Bang Theory is now on my bury list along with the Full Sail Crowd. So we're now at two. Hope someone's keeping track of this.
I like Big Bang Theory.
Get out of here.
It's my house.
It's hot garbage. I have a key as well. Get out of here. All right. So we both made picks for that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Triple threat for the Women's Championship. Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Bayley. That's the one where I'm kind of... I don't know. I can make arguments for pretty much all three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will...
I have a feeling... that, because I feel like they've kind of, telegraphing a little bit
You're going to use a noun in that sense?
No. The whole Dana Brooke thing, I feel like Dana Brooke is going to cost Charlotte the match one way or the other, leading to a feud between her and Dana Brooke.
I will be okay with that if that is a separate feud from the
championship.
Title.
That's what I'm saying. It's a separate feud away from the championship. Dana Brooke's going to cost her the championship. And then it becomes Sasha or Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley is great at chasing a championship.
Yeah.
And like she's also great as champion, but her real strength as we saw with NXT was chasing a championship. So, by that thinking, I'm going to say Sasha.
I'm going to give it to Sasha as well.
Okay.
Because, to kind of build on what you're saying, assuming that Dana Brooke interrupts and ruins it for Charlotte.
Sure.
And then, by de facto, ends up being the face of that feud.
Right.
The championship storyline needs a heel, and Sasha Banks will fill that a million billion times better than Bayley. Sasha Banks...
need a heel.
No, but they think they need a heel.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Sasha Banks is also not as good a face as she is a heel. Sasha Banks...
I can agree with that.
She has come into Raw essentially as a face the whole time.
Right.
She's had some heelish tactics, some heelish tendencies, especially...
She's tried to be a heel.
Yeah, especially with...
But the audience isn't really trying. And, and also WWE's not, like, having her fully commit to being a heel.
Well, especially... Post
Team Bad.
Yeah, Team Bad was kind of in the middle. Heel team, quote unquote, very heavy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But by the time that was dropped and she was just fighting on her own, there's all like, it's all out the window.
And
that's mostly our fault. We cheered and wouldn't shut up about it. Yeah, as a crowd.
Oh,
sure. We forced a face turn there.
Because we don't respect faces or heels anymore. Blah, 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 blah. That whole argument.
No, that's fine. Like, I'm not mad at us. But
don't boo them. You should be booing yourself.
But she is showing weakness on her microphone skills that she did not have being the top heel in NXT.
Sure.
I feel scared almost being like, here's a reason that Sasha Banks is less than perfect, and then I'm like flinching. So I'm like, don't hit me.
Right, you don't want, hate mail coming from the Full Sail audience.
But my point is, I don't think she is as strong a character as a face
as she is a
heel.
And that's really just more speaking towards her great ability at being a heel.
Yeah.
You know? It's more of, it's not so much her shortcomings as a face, as it is her just bigger achievements as a heel.
She's a solid B+ face. I mean, okay. she's not.
Where she's an A plus.
Yeah, like she doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't like forget her lines and stuff, but she is very. Her face character doesn't have a character to it.
Right.
It's, you know, golly gee shucks, I sure am glad to be here. Wrestling is fun. And then here's an amazing wrestling match, but her face character is not on level with her wrestling skills the way her heel character is.
Right. I just had a fun thought. I would love to see Bayley as a heel, but like not really doing anything dastardly, but she thinks it's really bad. But we're just like, okay, like just going up and just like breaking somebody's pencil in the front of their face, like something like that. That would kind of be adorable.
Would that be a heel?
I don't know. Because like I don't see like fans really getting behind booing her.
I feel like
if that's what she's doing. But it would be kind
of
funny.
I feel like that's basically the opposite of like Bo Dallas, who's like a heel that thinks he's a face.
Right.
So you're making like a face who thinks she's a heel?
Yeah, pretty much. But I would kind of want to see how that would turn out. Like, give it a few years.
I would definitely be interested. Mm-hmm. I don't want to risk Bayley on it.
No. At least not yet. Again, give it a few years. Give her, like, at least, like, two runs of this as champion.
Okay.
Then when it's like, all right, let's try something new with her. That's what you do. Like, just refuse to hug somebody. You know?
Okay.
Just, like, no, and then walk away or something like that. And she thinks she just murdered somebody.
Yeah.
And you get like a segment of her just like freaking out, like, oh my god, what have I done? So move on to the tag team championships, New Day versus Gallows and Anderson.
New Day.
Still say New Day?
I will pick
even with I've liked the stuff that Gallows and Anderson have done after Old Day. You know? Like they all kinda owned up to it.
Mm-hmm.
New Day said you would never see that again, and then Gallows and Anderson, they're like, all right, no, we're serious now. Like, we're not going to no longer do these joke segments.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all of their joke stuff was bad, but the Old Day stuff was bad enough to where they should probably stay away from it for a while.
Not all of it was bad, but none of it was good.
I didn't mind the first Doctor segment.
You didn't mind it, but it wasn't good.
Okay, yeah.
Like, if somebody's like, they're terrible, look at Old Day, you can't be like, yeah, but look at this on the other hand. Okay. There is no other hand.
Yeah.
There's no good. There's not terrible down to terrible.
Okay. All right.
I'm
glad you set up the spectrum. So you're saying New Day.
I am saying New Day because at this point with the tag team championships, I'm just playing the odds.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. I think we'll like, New Day as well.
I have picked New Day pretty consistently for a solid year now.
Mm-hmm.
It's done me good. At some point, I'll get it wrong, but it will. But always picking New Day will have definitely gotten me more points than it will have lost.
Sure. And then we're going to end up with Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship.
I don't know who I want to win this.
I feel like it's pretty obvious what's going to happen, though. Like, I feel like Triple H is going to come in and interfere and cost Seth Rollins the match.
Okay. Because at that point, Seth Rollins versus Triple H is the more interesting storyline, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the way you go with that.
Especially since we haven't seen Triple H since their last pay-per-view.
I want to discuss that.
Okay. Well, should you make your pick first?
I'm going to pick Kevin Owens. Like, I'm picking Kevin
Owens. Oh, you're Kevin Owens. Okay, so we're both saying Kevin Owens. Okay, go on.
So, in kayfabe.
Mm-hmm.
Do Stephanie and Triple H share a bed?
Or is this like an I Love Lucy situation?
Well, like,
where it's they're in the same room, so, like, they're married, so they should sleep in the same room, but not in the same bed.
They're married in kayfabe.
Yes.
Do their children exist? Do they have... They have three daughters in...
And they have $3.
They have $3. That's all you need to run a wrestling company these days.
Sega Dreamcast.
They have three children in real life. Do they have three children in kayfabe?
I believe they mentioned them on the show.
Do they eat dinner together? What I'm trying to get at is we have this, like, we had him come in, interfere with this Fatal 4-Way, and then disappear.
Okay.
And we're like, we'll tune in on Monday to hear this explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And we tune in on Monday, and we have this, like, Stephanie being like, he wasn't there, and Stephanie like, I don't know, that was him acting alone, that wasn't the authority, I am as shocked as everybody.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, you know what? That's interesting, they're not getting along.
All right.
But it's been a month? 3 weeks? Somewhere in there.
Yes. And she still doesn't know.
And she still doesn't know. Has she not seen, is Triple H, like, living in the woods somewhere? Is he, like,
just an absent husband slash father?
What's going in kayfabe?
Yeah.
What is going on with that marriage?
Okay. So, let's just put this on the spectrum, okay? These are the things that are true in kayfabe. Kane and Undertaker are brothers. Edge and Christian are brothers. In kayfabe, Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch penis. In kayfabe, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon sleep on opposite sides of their mansion.
I am assuming that the storyline is Triple H has vanished. Triple H lost the championship. Yeah. There's like missing persons report out for Triple H. He showed up out of nowhere.
And Vince McMahon is probably still in that New York jail.
Yes.
Although, no, he was released because he kind of brushed off Renee Young trying to get an interview. That's right.
Right.
Never mind.
And so, like, I'm just assuming that Triple H is living out in the woods somewhere, like, hunting his own food with his bare hands.
While still wearing, like, a very tight tailored suit.
Yes. And it's still fairly immaculate.
Yeah, like,
for having lived in the woods since WrestleMania.
Well, since the last pay-per-view.
Yes.
So, okay.
I mean, because they pretty much said, like, NXT Triple H is not main show Triple H.
Right.
They're different characters.
Right. So the fact that we just saw him at the Cruiserweight Classic...
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Different Triple H.
That Triple H sleeps in the same bed as...
That is parallel universe Triple H.
Oh, man. Bizarro kayfabe. Oh, man. You're just opening a Pandora's box of just possibilities.
But there's still only one Stephanie, as far as I know, in kayfabe. So I don't know if that Triple H is married to Stephanie.
The Bizarro Universe Stephanie is the one that does, like, be a star, like,
but see, I don't know if that's conferences. I don't know if that's kayfabe Stephanie.
True, because like, this present reality kayfabe Stephanie kind of, like, teeters on that line of face and heel.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's, like, again, like, 1 week she'll do something face, 1 week she'll do something heel. We just don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't think NXT Triple H is married.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only explanation I can bring to you, if they're separate characters. Because I don't think he's ever mentioned Stephanie is in existence while being in related to the NXT product.
But Stephanie was, like, in the audience for, like, the Iron Man match with Bayley and Sasha Banks, stood next to Triple H as they gave them flowers. Like, that whole thing at the end.
Did she get in the ring there?
I don't know if she was in the ring, but she was definitely there at the end, like, next to him when they were, like, presenting them with flowers at the end. You know what I mean?
Okay, because I will argue dumb, weird wrestling logic that if you're in the crowd, like, the crowd is a separate realm than the ring.
Well, if we're going by that, then Shane McMahon is an absent father because at NXT Dallas... She was there with Shane's and her kids with, like, Linda McMahon. Shane was nowhere to be found. And Linda McMahon had a weird look on her face whenever Shane's oldest son was chanting BS with the crowd. And they kept stopping the Samoa Joe match. Still my favorite moment. That and Stephanie losing her mind whenever they, like, leapt onto, like, a security guard for that one spot. Oh, man, she thought she had a lawsuit on her hands.
I was like, yeah, crowd stuff is outside the realm of kayfabe. Because you'll have faces and heel.
So Bizarro NXT sure. world,
except
Stephanie
for,
is like
except
raising
for,
six children.
Except for – no, because that's real world. That's real world Stephanie.
Okay, so real world Stephanie means Shane's an absent father.
No, Shane just doesn't know that.
Okay.
Because he had to act in the story of magical WWE Universe realm. He had to go do his acting job.
You're crossing realities, man. You are crossing realities.
No. I got it. It all worked perfectly now. I figured out there's no flaws in kayfabe.
So many of our listeners are hanging themselves right now.
There's multiple universes. The only thing that doesn't make sense is what was Triple H going to say to Shawn Michaels the night he retired?
It always comes back to that. That's the crux of it. That's it. That's the moment where Triple H was split in two.
I'm assuming he was going to tell him that there's two Triple H's.
Because he got attacked, and then he was gone for a while.
Yes.
For a long time.
He was. He was making the chaperone.
He was making the chaperone.
In real life, not in kayfabe. In kayfabe, he was injured.
So that's when the split happened.
Yep, that's when the split happened.
So, which one is running NXT? Chaperone Triple H or, like, real-life Triple H?
I mean, at that point, there's three Triple H's.
Don't you even jerk.
There's one for each age.
What's the third one? The one that does movies that's been hiding for, like, a decade?
There's outside... of kayfabe, because there's two different Triple H's in kayfabe.
The third one is Paul Levesque.
Yes.
But that's the one that runs everything in WWE. Like the suit. Which is also the one that runs NXT. You're not making any sense, Joel. Your realities are converging, and that's going to make everything implode.
There's just one H each. And so when they come together, that's why it's Triple H.
No, I get that. You're not like blowing my mind here. Like, I understand.
So H1 is NXT age.
Oh god. If that would ever get hooked up with N1. What's happening?
I'll draw you a chart.
No. Actually, you know what? Draw me a chart. I want to see what you can come up with. When I come over, I'm guessing we're doing Clash of Champions here.
Yeah.
When we do that here, when I come to your apartment on Sunday, I want to see this chart. It is going to be like a giant Venn diagram.
We'll post it on the Twitter.
No, you won't. You're not going to make
this. I will make you a chart.
You are not.
I will make you a chart.
You are going to go to work tomorrow, you're going to get tired, and you're going to go to sleep. And then you're going to spend all weekend...
I'm not going to sleep at work. I'm a good employee.
And then when you come home...
Oh, yeah, I'll sleep
when I get home. And then you're not going to really want to do anything...
It will not be...
Until Sunday.
It will not be a well-organized laminated chart, but chart there shall be.
I wasn't expecting a well-organized chart regardless. It's going to be just a cluster mess.
Chart there shall be. You have anything else?
I guess I should talk about the... football.
Oh, yeah. Did we win this week, Chris?
No, we didn't.
You know, I haven't lost yet this year. Maybe I should take over.
Oh, you haven't lost in this league.
Yeah.
The other league, you're doing horribly just as much as I am.
Because we have the same team.
Yeah, pretty much. I do have a good feeling about this week, though. Because I did have...
Oh, wait. Who did we lose to last week? I was very pleased with their name, and I wanted them to win.
It was the Enzo joke. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was very...
It was like, Enzone
something? Enzone Amore.
Yeah. Good job, Enzone Amore.
Here's the thing. We had there was a game tonight. It was New England versus Houston.
Uh-huh.
And I needed a new running back because Doug Martin is injured. He was my top draft pick. He hasn't really been doing a whole lot the first 2 weeks. So I just happened to find out that nobody in our league owned New England running back LeGarrette Blount.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing pretty good. He played tonight, and he went down for 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. So I am currently winning over... Let me find... Loading.
Should have wrote this up ahead of time.
We really did. I'm going up against the Midnight Express.
All right, I'd like you to win this time.
He also had a player. He had DeAndre Hopkins, which usually a good pick. Didn't have any touchdowns because New England won 27-0. He's got 7.9 points.
Okay.
I've got 22.5.
Feeling good.
I'm feeling good, even though we both only have had one player play each. I feel good.
This is LeGarrette,
that was a good pickup. That was good, like, waiver wire watching on my part.
All right.
That's always my strong point, is making, like, moves during the season.
All right.
So I feel like this is where I turn around in both of our...
All right. This is where Classy Ring Attire comes
Midnight
back.
Express, it's doomsday.
All right.
Got this.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who we live tweet when it's appropriate.
Depending on the reality.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, comments, if you would like your own chart,
we'll email you a PDF of the chart.
Or if you would like to send us your charts of whatever Joel explained, or if you have your own reality theory on your own, I'll open that gate, sure. It doesn't even have to be about wrestling. If you have just a theory about reality.
Make all of wrestling canon make sense and there fit. You go. Challenge of the week.
Send all that garbage over to our email because we ain't got nothing else going on in there. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Still the easiest way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe there, get a new episode every week. You can give us a rating of
5 alternate realities.
Or you can write a review. You gotta stick with something with one syllable. You throw me off.
Don't.
Or you could write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out podcast metrics.
And if you are listening to this on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also on Facebook, easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, see what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Six Flags!